I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
179.
I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Standing, Brother Sam Burton, would you lead us, please, in our prayer this morning?
Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for this beautiful day, your creation. And then, Lord, we thank you for this song, redemption, redeemed, bought back, set free by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless our singing, our worship, our fellowship, the message this morning, and all to the praise of the glory of your grace.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, and welcome to our service today. We're happy to have all of you in our morning service. Appreciate those of you that were here for our Sunday school today. And we have a lot of visitors with us here. I would like, first of all, to have all of my family stand up, if they would, and let's see what portion of the congregation they have. Everybody that's related to me, stand up. That's a whole bunch of them. Rita, you can stand up too. All right. There comes another one. All right. We've got four generations here, and you'll be hearing from one of them during the service, probably. Four generations. That's pretty good, you know? I feel blessed. See there? He's got a voice. He's going to be a good preacher, huh? Yeah. And we have another family here today that Scott is supposed to be here. Do you want to introduce your family, Gene, before... Let's have your family stand up there. This is the Rice family. Amen. All right. Happy to have them. Amen. Today is Violet's turn to be baptized. We've got water in the baptistry this morning. And don't take him too far because we're going to have a baby dedication here directly. Huh? No, I'm not going to wait till the end. He'll probably conk out before then. We want him to know what's going on. Anyway, it's a beautiful Lord's Day. Glad to have the Lancasters back with us. Missed them last week. You know what his excuse was for not being here? Dead battery. Did you ever get out and get in your car and put the key in the ignition and turn it on and nothing happened? That's very frustrating. She is. Oh my goodness. These automobiles. Yeah. Anyway. We're glad that you can make it. By the way, we've got another family with us today that kind of seem like visitors because they've been to Colorado and they've been to Arizona and finally got thawed out and came back out here to California. Brother David, come lead us in another song. Isn't it good to have you back?
It's family is a wonderful thing, and welcome everyone that came today. You probably filled half our church, and we appreciate that, and thank you for coming. We're going to sing number 519.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine on dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings on my with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Would you all stand, please, and we're going to sing number 361, 361.
Sin I did wrong. When Jesus the Keeper found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. The still waters, he guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life.
Amen. Brother Roger, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, again, we come to you with thankful hearts for this place that we can come, sing unto you, hear your word being preached and taught. Quiet our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might be prepared for what you've laid upon our master's heart. Father, as we partake of this offering, we would ask that you not only multiply it here in this corner, but the mission field we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you come on up, please? Prepare to sing for us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. You know, real quick, I want to tell you something. Back in my late teens, back in the early grown-up years, I was in a singing group in Chicago, back in the day, as they say. And we sang for the praise of the people, for their adoration of all this. But you know what? Even back then, Pastor, after the praise was over with, I was empty, lonely, and miserable. Until my Lord Jesus saved my soul. Amen. You see now, before I even sing, I got joy. And after I sing, I got joy in abundance. Amen. So I want you to understand, I sing because of what my Lord Jesus has done for me. Please.
I've been singing about my Lord for 27 years. I sung when I was happy, and I sung when I feel. But there are some folks that make fun if I do it all so. Oh, but the reason that I sing, I want you all to know
I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a powerless thing. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home. Oh, there I shall see that eternity. Now song to those walking through the fiery trial, and I watch at saddened faces turn into happy smile. Oh, that I bow my head and whisper, Lord, please do the same for me. Oh, I'm so glad that He's given me the victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power in sin. Oh, I sing because His grace is built to me. I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, I sing because someday I'm going home, and there I shall see throughout eternity. Now, oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, yes, I sing because I'm going home. Oh, there I shall see throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Praise God. I will sing always. Glory.
All right. Wonderful. Now, if we could get Mason up here. Katie, you and Lucas, bring him up here, if you will. Robert's going to come up here, and then before this part of it is over, I want Eric to come up here, and in front of this pulpit, I would like to have a picture made of four generations of us guys. This is going to be a guy thing. Okay? Yeah. All right. That's my great-grandson. Now, I'm going to turn this on just in case I need it. We're going to dedicate this little guy today to the Lord, okay? Isn't that wonderful? I want to remind you that this act of dedication does not assure Mason's salvation. It has no saving virtue. His salvation will come later through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he reaches the age of accountability and realizes that he's lost, and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will call upon God to save him. Now, this dedication today is an expression of the desire of his parents, Katie and Lucas, as well as his grandfather, Robert, and me, his great-grandfather, and a pledge to God that we will do all in our power to see that Mason is raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This is an expression of their thanks to God for this beautiful little son that God's given him. And he's already vocal and loud. You can tell that. And he's about 10 months old now. And this is a public acknowledgement of their need for God's wisdom and guidance in raising him. As you can tell, he's a handful. And it's also a request for your prayers for him. I've been around him for a few days now, and he does need that. Needs our prayers, yeah.
He's a boy.
On one occasion, Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him a very important question. They said to him, "Jesus, who is the greatest in heaven?" Good question, isn't it? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know what Jesus answered them? He called a little child up to him and set that little child in the midst of them as an object lesson and said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." On another occasion, the Bible says, "And they brought unto him little children." The people of Jesus' day brought little children to him. What did he do? They wanted him to put his hands on them and pray. And when the disciples rebuked them, they said, "No, don't bother Jesus. He's got more important things to do than mess with these babies." Jesus rebuked them and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And then you know what he did? He took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And we've come today to dedicate him. He won't remember this, I'm sure. But somebody will take a picture of it. And they'll have that to remember. So will you join me this morning in prayer? Shall we bow our heads? Now let me lay my hands on him. Maybe I can keep him quiet. Just a minute.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think about it? See there? I know how to keep him quiet. Yeah. He likes me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we look to the Lord today. Our Heavenly Father, we take advantage of this occasion to thank you for the love and concern that Katie and Lucas have as they brought little Mason here to this place to be presented and dedicated to you. May they always be as concerned for his spiritual welfare as they are at this moment. We pray for this little boy, that he may have a godly home to grow up in, that he may be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. May he be given the opportunity to learn about Jesus as he grows up, so that Jesus will be no stranger to him when he reaches maturity. And we pray that when he reaches that what we call the age of accountability, that he will accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and let Jesus save his soul so that he might spend eternity in heaven with him. And Lord, as he grows up, let your guardian angel watch over him and guard, guide, and keep him from physical harm and from diseases that come along through this life. We pray that he may be spared from the sins that have invaded our society, that his life may be a testimony of your grace. Lord, keep your protective hand upon him as he grows up, that he might become a responsible, reliable, and respected Christian adult, always mindful of the expressed desire of his parents on this day. So, Lord, we commit him and them to your love and to your keeping. Use them for your kingdom's glory, and may your Holy Spirit guard and guide them from this day forward as they walk in the holiness of God. Again, we thank you for him and for them, and thank you for your goodness and grace toward us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. Eric, come up here just for a minute. We're going to take up four generations here. This won't take but a minute. All right, thank you for your patience there. You're a wonderful congregation. Now open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 4 of this chapter. The Apostle John gives us his reason for writing this epistle and tells us, "And these things write we unto you," why? "That your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now there's a bunch of if we's in here. You'll find it in the next five verses. Look at this. Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, as we look at all five chapters of this particular epistle, there are 105 verses in it, and we have the words truth and know that appear over 30 times. That know is K-N-O-W, not N-O. So the theme of this book is salvation. I'd like to share four simple truths with you this morning that are set forth in 1 John about salvation. First of all, everyone needs to be saved. Secondly, everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. Number three, everyone who is saved the same way. And four, everyone who is saved can know it. Now that's not Baptist doctrine, that's Bible doctrine. A no-soul salvation. But first of all, let's look at that first point there. Everyone needs to be saved. Why? I don't feel like I need to be saved. Why do I need to be saved? Well, Jesus tells us that we need to be saved because we're sinners. Oh, yes. He said here in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, confess means to admit, to confess our sins. That doesn't mean to say, Lord, I did thus and so, and I did thus and so, and I did thus and so, and go down, because I don't know about how far you'd have to go back, but I'd have to go back a long way, and my memory is just simply not that good. I admit to God that I'm a sinner, that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he's talking about here. Not saying exactly what you did. Now, when you look at these two verses there in your Bible, you'll notice there in verse 8, he talks about sin. If we say we have no sin, that word sin is what we are. That is our nature. That's what comes naturally to us. That's that old Adamic nature that we inherit from Adam, because Adam, way back in the Garden of Eden, disobeyed God and sinned against God. And that sin nature has gone through every individual that's ever been born or ever will be born, except Jesus. Now, when you get into verse 9, he talks about sins. It's got an S on the end of it, which, if you remember your English lessons in school, means it's plural, doesn't it? Means more than one. Sins are the things that we do because we are sinners. A sinner sins because it's his nature. He's not a sinner because of what he does, but he's a sinner because of who he is. A lot of people don't understand this. But everyone needs to be saved because of what we are. Not every person has committed the same sins. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it does say there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. No exceptions. I used to think that a person was a sinner because he sinned. But it's not the sins that makes the sinner. It's the sinner who makes the sins. Years ago, there was an old preacher by the name of Joe Henry Hankins. And he said that one time he went to his doctor, and he asked him, he said, "Doc," he said, "what is the deadliest poison that is known to man?" And without hesitation, the doctor answered. He said, "potassium cyanide." He says, "well, how much potassium cyanide would it take to kill a person?" He said, "potassium cyanide is so deadly, so strong, that if a man took the stopper out of the bottle of it and touched underneath his tongue, he would be dead before he could put the stopper back in the bottle." And Hankins asked him, he said, "well, what would happen if he drank the whole bottle?" He said it wouldn't make any difference. The man would be dead either way. That's the way it is with sin. You don't have to commit every sin in the book to be a sinner. The wages of sin is death. All it takes is one. Just what's on the stopper. The point is that we don't have to commit every crime in the book to be a criminal. We're told in the Bible that he that offends in one point, he's guilty of all. That's not a license for you to go out here and do everything in the book. So, we admit with God, we agree with God, that I'm a sinner and I need salvation. Now, everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. That's the wonderful part about it. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Look at that in your Bible. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins." And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, a lot of people don't know what that big word propitiation means. It's a biblical term that means atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that makes atonement, covering, a blotting out of all the sins of all people, of all time, of the whole world. Peter says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus bore the penalty for our sins. I believe that the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary is one of the greatest truths in the whole Bible. Now, we have a group of people, a whole denomination of them, actually, in the Protestant movement that will say, well, preacher, I can understand how Christ died for my past sins. But I don't understand how he died for my future sins. So they teach that once a sinner comes to Christ and gets saved, that all of his past sins are blotted out. But from this time on, you'd better walk a straight path. Because if you sin after you get saved, you're going to be lost again. Now, that doctrine is not taught in the Word of God. Let me ask you a sincere question. How many of your sins were in the past when Jesus died for your sins on the cross? None of them. You weren't even born yet. How many of your sins were yet in the future when Christ died 2,000 years ago? All of them. Do you think Jesus died for just part of your sins, or did he die for all of your sins? All of them. That's right. Past, present, and future. He took every sin that we have ever committed or ever will commit, and he bore them in his own body on the cross. Every act of disobedience, every lie that I've ever told, every evil thought that has ever passed through my mind, every sin that I remember, and even sins that I don't remember, all these were laid on Jesus when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and God punished him to pay my sin debt that I owed. Romans 8:23 says the wages of sin is death. So Christ died. Ezekiel 18 verse 4. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Death is the penalty of sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 then means that 2,000 years ago, all of our sins were placed on Jesus Christ, and he was punished in our stead to pay the sin debt that we owe. Now, God would like all the world to be saved, but the truth is, all of the people of the world are not saved, are they? Why not? Because no one is actually saved until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. No one will ever be able to look up out of the fiery torments of hell and look at Jesus in heaven and say, Jesus, you didn't die for me. Because he did. He died for the world. He tasted death for every man, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. His death was sufficient for all the people of the whole world, but it's only efficient to those who believe. Now, everyone who is saved the same way. Regardless of what religion they follow, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Islam, whether it's one of the branches of Christianity, be it Catholic or Protestant, everyone who is saved the same way. And that way is not by baptism, or by church membership, or by turning over a new leaf and not sinning anymore. Chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of God? The Bible tells us in Matthew and also in Luke about his genealogy, how that the angel came down from heaven and appeared to Mary when she was yet a virgin. She was engaged to Joseph, but they had not yet come together. And God used Mary's body, her body, to bring Jesus into the world, to make God incarnate in the flesh, and Jesus was born. Now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, we read. Now, believe is a word that's found hundreds of times in your New Testament. Believe, believe. It means to trust. It means to depend on. It means to rely on. Jesus, back in John chapter 3, verse 36, divides the whole world into two groups when he says these words, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." So you've got those who believe and those who believe not. Those who believe are the ones who are saved. Those who believe not are what we call the lost. They need to be saved. There are believers and unbelievers. Over in the book of Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul and Silas. They were in jail at Philippi, and at midnight, as they were praying and singing praises unto the Lord, an earthquake came. And that earthquake shook all of the doors of that prison open. The jailer thought that all of the prisoners would immediately rush out of those open doors as soon as it happened. And he was going to kill himself because he was responsible to the authorities for those prisoners. Paul said, "Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here." He came trembling and fell at their feet and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's only one way to be saved, and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Only one person, and that person is Jesus. And him alone. So don't try to add baptism or good works or church membership or anything like that to it. It is not Jesus and, it is Jesus only. I used to work at the courthouse 25 years. I drove back and forth until they put the trolley in, and then I rode the trolley for a while. But one day, I was talking to someone there, and they suggested to me, said, here's the way I view religion. We all come to the courthouse, but we all come different routes. Some from the east, some from the west. Some from the north, some from the south. But we all come to the same destination. And so that's the way it is with religion. Each of us has his own religion, and as long as we are sincere in what we believe, we'll all end up in heaven. But my answer to that is this. First of all, when we die, we're not going to the courthouse. There may be 50 different ways to get to the courthouse, but there's only one way to get to heaven, and that way is through the person of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only one way. Point number four. Everyone that's saved can know it. Chapter 5, verse 13. Look at it here. These things have I written unto you. Remember that word, written. Written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may know. Know what? That you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now there are several times we read here in this short epistle, we know, we know. The Bible says that you can know you have eternal life. It's not a hope so. It's not a think so. It's not a maybe so. But what is our assurance of salvation? Well, we could get spiritual and say that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That's a good answer, isn't it? I like that. But we have a more sure word of testimony. What is that? These things have I written unto you that ye may know. These things were written down in your Bible that you may know that you're saved. Now, some people base their assurance on feelings. There are some days, I don't know about you, but there are some days that I feel like I'm saved. And I'm walking with the Lord. I've got joy in my heart. Whoa, the rapture could only take place right now. I'd be the first one to leave this earth. I'm saved. I feel like I'm saved. But sad to say, there are some mornings I get up, I feel like you do. Lord, I don't feel like I'm saved today. I'm feeling terrible. Well, I'll tell you. Feelings change. And when feelings change, that's when doubt comes in. I know that I'm saved because the Bible says so. Why trust changing feelings when we have the unchanging Word of God? that says, these things are written unto you that ye may know. I've talked to people, they'll say, well, I don't remember the exact day nor hour that I trusted Jesus. Neither do I. I remember I was 14 years old, but my goodness alive, that is 73 years ago. Can you remember 73 years ago? What'd you have for breakfast? That's back in the dark ages. I didn't have a watch. For that matter, I didn't even have a calendar. I don't even remember the day of the week. But I don't doubt my salvation just because I can't remember. The Bible doesn't say that this excellent memory have I given you that you may know that you have everlasting life. Jesus has given us the written word of God as a basis of our assurance that we're saved. You find that chapter and verse. Anybody ask you about it, you show up. It's written down in the Bible. Bible says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now everybody that's saved can know it. This is dogmatic truth. It's truth that doesn't change. We know it by taking God's word for it. He that believeth hath everlasting life. He said, I've written these things that you may know and be assured that you have eternal life. And he asked us to believe it. Have you believed it? Have you trusted him? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the assurance of your word, that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that our souls are saved. We receive at that very moment eternal life. We shall never perish. We become children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. At that very moment, all of our sins are pardoned and forgiven, washed away, and we're cleansed and made whole in Jesus. And if there is one in this congregation today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I don't care what church they've been in, how many times they've been baptized or where or anything else. We're talking about Jesus right now. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. So, Father, today, speak to hearts and bring people unto thyself and help people to admit that they're a sinner and know that Jesus forgives sin. And he's the only one that can, and he will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of invitation song and give you an opportunity. If you've never made a public profession of faith in Christ, today is the day to do it. And take God's word for your assurance.
Number 500.
Will you come today? Will you come? I don't care who you are. We're talking about the eternal destiny of your immortal soul. That's what I'm interested in today. And that's what God wants to save. He wants to save your soul. He wants to take you to eternity with Him in heaven. All you have to do is receive Him. Will you come today? Will you come? Sing another verse, please, Brother David. Almost persuaded. Will you come today? Whether you come or not, you're going to know the way of salvation, that's for sure. And if you don't do it right now, I hope God gives you an opportunity later. I would urge you to come now. Don't put it off. You to be seated if you will, because we're going to have a baptizing here in just a moment. And we have coming down the aisle now Barbara Rice with her little granddaughter. And I want y'all to go over here on this side over there if you will, and I'll meet you in the water. If there's anybody else here that would like to be baptized while I'm wet, let's just go ahead and do it. All right. Just give us a minute. Brother David, sing a song, please.
Amen. We sing number 481. 481. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my rapture soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy that was great and grace was free. Pardon that was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the might.
mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy that was great and grace was free. Pardon that was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Obedience to the command of our gracious Heavenly Father, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of our Lord's death. Wonderful. Nicaragua as a missionary. Carol Elkins is going to be with us tonight in our evening service. Now, I don't know what she's going to be doing, whether she's going to be preaching, whether she's going to be giving her testimony, talking about her field that God's called her to, or just what. But if she doesn't take up too much time, don't worry about it. I'll preach. But anyway, we'll have a good time tonight, and we look forward to having you back with us. Thank you for coming out this morning. And let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And Brother David, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here today, Lord, to hear the salvation message, Lord. Lord, it says in your word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that if anyone here, Lord, has not accepted Christ, Lord, today would be the day. Somehow, Lord, somebody would talk to them, Lord, and they would be compelled to come unto thee, Lord. You said that all they have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this little one that has come today, Lord. We ask your blessings upon her. Lord, help her to just lead the kind of life that you want her to, Lord, and to just be with her, guide her through it, Lord. We pray for Mason, Lord, also, who is dedicated to you, Lord, that you would just bless his life, Lord. Help him to serve you, Lord, put you first, Lord, and we thank you for that. We just thank you and praise you for this time that we've had in your house today, Lord. And just bless the remainder of our day. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. It's a great day. I know you enjoy that.
Oh, man.
Baptism.
Baptizing, dedication.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All set. All set.
It'll take long.